Blake sent me a finale file. What's that? In that finale file is a composition that he made in school with a bunch of whole tone stuff and 12 tone rows. What are those? In this, hopefully, 6-part series, we're going to collaborate with Blake, take a finale file that he made, convert it, put it into Ableton, make a song, ship stems back to him, lots of tools in the tune shed to talk about, specifically how to be a good file guru and be very polite with your files, but also, what's a whole tone scale? We're going to talk about all of it. We're going to go boom, 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 and hopefully help you make use of many, many tools in the tune shed.
What's up? Welcome to the Tune Shed, the workshop for everything music, from history, theory, creative process, production, you name it. We're here to become better music listeners, better creators, and better music lovers. I'm your host, Mike Blurry, and I'm here with my dear childhood friend and professional musician, Marty Gray. That was a surprise, Marty. I had no idea all that was coming. What's up, Marty? Let's do this thing.
Dude, I'm wearing my USA flannel thing or the windbreaker thing. And we're ready to go, dude. We're feeling patriotic.
All right. Yo. Well, yeah, I sent you that file a while ago. I didn't realize we were going to do a whole thing to it. That sounds fun.
Yeah, we're gonna do it. I don't know how that's going to go. I mean, we're just going to go step by step. Yeah. Here's what I know. I've listened to it once. I noticed that it was a tone row thing that you did for college.
Yeah.
And that it had examples of whole tone scales in it.
Yep.
That's all I remember.
It's going to be your ear versus my memory, because that was a while ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago. How many years ago was that? Must it have been like 5?
Yeah, about 5.
Sweet, dude. I can't wait.
Yeah.
We're gonna sample your masterpiece.
Sweet. Yeah, it was, you know, it's interesting. It's like assignments in music school. Weird. Like there's deadlines. You have to do something. You have to apply this theory concept, right? And some of them were just bad, obviously. Some of them were okay, because you don't have infinite time to make this thing a masterpiece. But some of them I wrote really fast, and I actually loved them. And I think this is one that I was like, I don't know why this hits just right for me. It's not everyone's cup of tea. It's definitely like some avant-garde kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one for me, I liked it for some reason. And I think that's why I ended up sending it over.
I think I like it too. I liked some of the little moments in it.
Yes.
There were moments that made me feel like really strong. Well, that I think that's why I kind of wanted to take it and like mess with it, because that's a huge part of sampling is like you hear just a snippet that you're like, whoa, that makes me feel a certain way. You take it and then amplify that feeling with other stuff.
That's like a whole lens fun to kind of put on as you're listening to is the sampling lens. Like,
yeah,
you know, what would this feel like in a different context? Like, that's kind of a hard operation to be doing on the fly, but I'm sure you can get a sense for it as you listen that way.
Well, it totally is. Well, you just have to stumble over yourself over and over again. Really.
Yeah.
We always talk about this on the show, but there's like no way of conceptualizing the finished product. There's no way. You can't do it. You just have to start.
Trust the process.
So, dude, but like I'm so excited for this series because we're kind of gonna do everything that we do, right? So we're gonna do theory, we're gonna do production. We're going to do like file management, like philosophy, all of it. We're going to do it all.
And hey, that's a good point. I wanted to bring up, you can support us if you like what we're doing. We're trying to always grow our show and give you the best experience we can and, you know, put everything back into the show. So if you want to support us, we got a link in our show notes. We also have a link to our Discord community. Marty, I don't know if you want to mention anything about that. We just kicked that off.
We do. It's in the beginning stages. We're just sort of trying to collect the people.
Yeah.
We're there. We're on Discord. We're using the Discord that we have open to the public right now to just sort of like connect. And so we're trying to build the community first. And then our plan, hopefully, is to like do events and like to connect our Patreon and all that stuff. But right now we're in the building phase. And so.
Yeah. So yeah, come hang out. We got a bunch of our guests in there too. And it's just an open space to talk about music, chat about music, literally anything about music and what we talk about. And Yeah, it's open. There might be like collaboration opportunity there. There might be give me feedback on my song or just like random questions or whatever. So yeah, it's set to evolve. You should give it a join.
I think so. Yeah, and hit us up through there.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Why not? Why not, dude? Okay, so step one, I need to share my screen because we are starting from the beginning, the desktop.
All right.
Starting from the desktop, dude. So here's the deal. You sent me this file right here. Boom. Theory 4 comp MuseX. Now, what is this thing?
For those this... of you who don't have the screen share, Marty has a remarkably clean desktop, and there's just one file in the very middle that says you. Theory 4 comp. Amazing title.
Theory 4 comp. It's wonderful. Well, so what I'm looking at is a MuseX file, and what that is, it's a Finale notation file. Finale is a music notation software. It is what you write sheet music in. A comparable program is Sibelius, and I've never really heard of another program that can rival those two. I think it really is Finale and Sibelius. Nowadays, there might be another one, but I've always been a Finale guy. I've always used Finale my entire life. And thank God Blake has as well.
I just used it in college, and actually, it's kind of crazy. Like, some of my professors in college were like, hey, I need you to redo this really old score that's just written out, or we've added notes. Will you just do that for me? And so I ended up getting a bunch of experience sort of entering notes that way and got decently fluent in it. But Logic actually has a decent score operator in there too. And all of them, I feel like there's a little bit of a learning curve, but it's really fun to write scores, I feel like, because it just makes it like a little package, you know. You make a little piece of music, you can print it out, you can be like, this is it, you know. So
like
it's kind
too.
Of a tangible, beautiful thing. And there's an aesthetic to it as well. And of course, there's a whole class of musicians who read scores first and foremost. So
it's true.
Pros and cons.
Yeah, pros and cons. I mean, I still have sessions at the studio where a string quartet comes in and orchestral people with an orchestral background, you can't tell them jam in C major. They don't know what that means. So you got to give them sheet music.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're still writing sheet music in a studio setting for sure. It's just a lot less often.
Nice.
But at the end of the day, you sent me this file, and I need to take what's inside and make it so Ableton can play it. Right? So what I need to do is I need to export MIDI from inside of Finale, because MIDI is something that Ableton can do.
Oh, right. Okay.
So let's open her up.
I could do that. That's cool.
It can. And I haven't actually tried to import MuseX files into Ableton. So maybe that's possible. Actually, let's just see if it is. Might as well.
Cool. Let's do a little test.
I mean, I doubt it, but we could always try just like dragging the MuseX file into an Ableton. If that's the case, then this episode is going to be really short. Because I didn't even consider that as an option. Okay, so we're just gonna try. No, Ableton
that's,
does not like
this. That's a big for those without the screen. That's a big cancel symbol.
Yeah, that's a big old. That's red a big old nope
line through it. Hard now. And that's okay. The thing. I had Finale in college, but I don't even have it anymore. So I almost like I have a PDF of the score, but that's my only way to access it. So it's great that you have it, and we can convert it out into a MIDI file.
Yeah, it's great. It's like, yeah, thank the lucky stars that you had a MuseX file to send me, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's file management too, you know, keeping it on the hard drive over all these years and throwing it in saying this, I liked this one, we should keep this one.
I can't wait to see what it turns into.
Yeah, and this also dates it. Theory 4 means it's in my fourth year of school.
Cool.
Actually, I think I took Theory 4 junior year. Maybe third or fourth year.
You were just super smart.
I just loved Theory. So I also thought Theory was the ticket to being able to write songs. And I was struggling to write songs. And so I took all the Theory classes. That's not true at all. It is not the ticket. But it gave me tools. Another tool in the tune shed, as we say.
Yeah.
To think about music and analyze music and kind of put that mathematical hat on sometimes too if I want to really get into it. I don't always do that though, because sometimes it's nice to not do that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I mean, having a good theory background will help you write like a part of the song really easily, just like the chords and stuff,
Totally,
you
yeah.
know? And the melody too. Like, it definitely doesn't hurt, but it's yeah, it's definitely not like you said it wasn't. It's not like the one-stop shop for songwriting,
No, not at all.
you know?
It's just a great option. Like when I, like if I'm listening to something and I want to learn the chords and I get a little lost and confused, can't figure out what a chord is or something, theory is one option for, hey, what would make sense in this context from a theory perspective. And then that
Yeah.
can lead me to, oh, is it this? Is it that? Oh, maybe it is. And then I sort of can move on through that.
I'm into that. Okay, so for those people who aren't watching the video, I opened up Finale 2014 and I dragged Blake's music file into Finale, and it opened up a beautiful little pad of sheet music. And
Lovely.
so what I'm going to do now, because Finale is able to use its own MIDI engine to read this, that's how I know that it has MIDI. It has a MIDI output. So we're going to
Wow.
go File, Export, MIDI File.
Yeah.
We're going to save it to the desktop as Theory 4 Comp MIDI. And I already exported this once. And so I'm just going to replace it.
So
Boom,
does
it's
that take
exported.
the does it take the MIDI? It's just the MIDI information. Does it say, hey, this is a piano piece?
It
Or
doesn't.
it
It
doesn't. So
doesn't. It
it's
just.
just which notes it is.
It's just which notes it is. You can
Okay.
see where this might be going.
How about dynamics? Are dynamics coming along with it?
Yeah, dynamics are loosely correlated to
Oh, yep.
the velocity input.
And so MIDI has velocity is, I think, a scale of 1 to 127 because of computers.
That's right. That's right.
So
Because of bits.
if you say it's triple piano, as I call it, or triple forte, that's probably the bounds.
Yeah, I guess triple forte is probably the loudest.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe quadruple forte is like 127.
Yeah. And it all
Don't know how that
depends. That's
works.
what Finale's MIDI engine would do, right? Is interpret those dynamic symbols
Yeah,
as
that's right.
velocities so that they could
Yeah.
program it different ways.
Yeah, and MIDI files also have tempo information too.
Oh,
All sorts of
right.
stuff. Yeah, and
Ah, I didn't think of that.
There are many, many channels within a MIDI file and many different numbers associated with each channel. And
Yeah.
so you can control things like timbre if you assign timbre to a channel. I mean, we should do a whole episode on like what MIDI is and
Yeah.
everything because it gets really complicated. But really, like for now, we can just import this into Ableton and see what pops up. I think that's what we should do.
Cool. I'm really wondering if
So
it's going to sound good or not.
I know, I don't know. I haven't done this yet. So here's what we're gonna do. We open Ableton. Disregard those for those video watchers, disregard episode 2 right here. We're not gonna use it, it's muted. That's not for right now. We're gonna open a new MIDI track, and we're just gonna drag and drop this MIDI file that we got from Finale into Ableton.
Easy
So now
enough.
Ableton is saying import tempo and time signature data into arrangement. Actually, we're going to say no because I kind of want to start over and drag this from the beginning. You know what I mean?
Oh,
So that it
okay.
starts from the beginning. I messed up a little bit. Okay, here we go. Boom. And then we're going to say yes. So now, yeah, if we go over to this show automation, we see all of your markings for retardando, which is really cool.
Oh,
So
whoa.
whenever you say retardando, the MIDI translation is to slow the tempo by like a little bit
Huh.
every beat, it looks like. That's kind of cool.
Wow. That's so interesting. So you can see how Finale actually programmed the
Yeah.
different score markings.
I think it's sweet. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Because, a musician could interpret that ritardando in so many different ways, right? They could do it a ton or a little bit.
That's right.
But here it's sort of mathematically prescribed what it is. Oh, fascinating.
It's super cool. So if we play this, we hear nothing. Aha! That's because
Ah.
it's just MIDI information. There's nothing being played, there's no instrument.
Right.
So what could we choose? We could choose a piano. That was the original intention.
It was a piano piece, yeah.
Mean, let's go and do that. Just to see. Just to see. Let's open up labs and let's choose, I don't know, like Philip Glass's piano. Let's do
Great
it.
piano to pick.
I think so too. Oh, hello. There it goes. It was just loading. Philip Glass's piano is a little quiet. Let me turn it up. Like, I don't know, 8 dB. There's your whole tone scale. I'm sure you had pedal markings in here. This part.
Oh, the pedals do come in.
The pedals do come in. There's that theme again. Really good thematic development. Feel like I've heard this before. Here's your D section. Turnaround before. Wonderful. Round
That's
of
it.
applause from Schoenberg himself.
So that piece was called Not Quite. I don't know if you get that vibe from it, but that's what I ended up naming it.
like that. I like that title a lot. Not quite.
I feel like it sounds like Not Quite.
Does sound like not quite.
Yeah. There's angst in it, you know? It's got yeah, some angst.
It's good. There is a certain collegiate angst.
Yeah, and
An
it's definitely
intellectual
like some,
frustration.
yeah, it's definitely some heady theory stuff. This is like you have to write this in a night, like go. I lock
Yeah.
myself in a room and I'm like, all right, I have to do this. Yeah, it was good fun.
Well, what do I hear in this?
Yeah, what
First
do you
of
like?
all, I hear, obviously, it's tone row, it's avant-garde, right? It's 12 tone scales.
Yeah.
And there's lots of whole tone snippets in there. Bum, 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 bum.
Yes.
There's lots of like rippling things, like it's lots of scurrying.
Yes.
And then it always returns to the gong, gong, dong, bum, that sort of like bell thing. Gong,
It is
gong,
kind of a
gong,
bell
gong.
line, isn't it?
Like one note at a time thingy,
Yeah.
right? And the wonderful thing about MIDI is that we can use any instrument with this MIDI input, right?
Yeah,
We
it's
could use
kind of
anything
crazy.
we want. I mean, we could just do that right now. I mean, isn't that exciting?
It's honestly like it's almost obvious because it's that power is always there, but it is so exciting. Like the possibilities are limitless.
Mean, let's hear Blake's composition with a Max for Live instrument called Purr by IFTA,
Uh-oh.
which is a microtonal instrument, by the way.
Oh, we covered which episode did we cover that in?
I don't
Oh, it
remember,
was
but
so
yeah, we have
cool.
talked about this before. It's
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
super cool. I mean, hold
Ah,
on,
so fun.
let me
It was
just
in the
play a little
synth
bit.
series, yeah.
Let me just like hone in this thing.
Marty's twisting some knobs, getting it to sound just right.
I kind of like that. Let's hear it with the Mardi Gras touch.
Okay. Ooh, that's a vibe.
It's cool.
The high and lows feel farther apart.
It's because they are. Yeah. It's really like
the low chords end is... have less, yeah, less differentiation. It's just like a block of sound.
Yeah.
I'm curious about this part.
That's sweet.
That is cool.
I love it. I just want to hear this part real
quick.
Oh,
yeah. It's huge.
That's sweet.
Those chords are supposed to just be like as loud and like, you know, just slam on the keys as you can.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, if you were going to orchestrate this with an orchestra, then you'd be like, yeah, 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 yeah. All the string players would be going crazy.
That would actually, an orchestra playing this would be pretty sweet.
It would be cool. I think Schoenberg has some orchestra pieces.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I think so, too.
I don't know. I think I heard one live. It was tough. it was tough.
Yeah, that's what I like about the length of this song and how much it repeats its parts. Because it's very, like, heady music that's, you know, it's not a very simple melody. The chord structure is kind of crazy. So the repetition helps me feel grounded when I listen to it. That was the idea there. Very easy when you're doing a lot of theory just to make music that doesn't sound like music, which is cool for its own right. But, you know, it's trying to balance it a little bit. I don't know how effective that ended up. I
mean, Blake was not into the through composed idea. He wanted strophic and structure.
Yes, structure. Something to help ground me in my angst.
Okay, well, that's all I wanted to do on episode one. Next episode, we're going to sort of talk about what we just heard, like the whole tone scale stuff.
Yep.
We're going to listen to some examples of whole tone scale in music. Beautiful. And we're going to talk about it. It's going to be great.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for sticking with us. See you in the next episode. Much love.
Bye.